Welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast. I'm Bella Gandhi, the founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host. I started Smart Dating Academy in 2009 because I had this crazy knack of giving people dating advice that actually worked, that I took. I've been married for almost 25 years, and now my company helps people to date smarter and to find love. This podcast is meant to bring more love into your life, no matter where you are and what you do. And we're here to bring more life into your love. Smart daters, welcome back to the Smart Dating Academy podcast. If this is your first episode, welcome to the greatest podcast in the Milky Way galaxy. Now, in all seriousness, we're so happy to have you here. And the fact that you are spending your time with us, we're going to make this a really good one today. I have with me one of my favorite people, one of my work wives. I have our coach, Eileen Collins, who has now been at Smart Dating Academy for 5 years. And yes, welcome, Eileen. And we are going to, I just want you to know a little bit more about Eileen. I realize she's been on many podcast episodes, but I thought, you know, Eileen, I know your story, but I really think you have a great story. And I think people would love to know your life story and your love story. And then we're going to share something that is coming up in all of our sessions. It is dating fatigue and dating app fatigue. And we're going to give you the remedies of getting over dating fatigue. So, Eileen, welcome back to the Smart Dating Academy podcast.
Bella, I love being a work wife, luckiest job ever. Mm-hmm. I like love how I finagled my way in, pitched in there, and just love every minute of it. So when you say your story, you don't mean like I was born in a log cabin to parents like this and then dating, whatever.
You can just tell us the story you would like people to know when they really want to say, wow, I really love that Eileen Collins. I feel like she's just like me.
Oh, okay. So I am the youngest of three kids, and I dated in high school, went to college to do theater, which was big because in my family, like if you were getting, if college was about to be paid for, then you probably should leave with like some kind of really feasible degree. Like I'm going to be a dentist. I am now a doctor. Theater seems like a big risk, which by the way, a BFA in theater was a giant risk. They were right, my parents. But
so did you college, have Indian parents too?
Did I? No, Jewish, madam, Jewish.
Like we're the same tribe at the end of the day.
At the end of the day, so many similarities. But God bless their hearts. They made it something I still could do. So I went to college, time of my life, the best time ever, and dated, had boyfriend, all the great things. And then I knew I was going to move to a city and act dating like if I did date, which would probably interfere with me becoming a superstar, I thought. I was not going to date an actor because for sure there's only room for one of those in the family unless you're like Paul Newman and Joanne Woodward. Like you got to really be big. Otherwise, it just leads to problems, I felt. So I was really watching myself. Yeah. Right? So I come to Chicago to do improvisation with the famous Del Close. And he was like the guru. He trained the Not Ready for Primetime players. He was it.
And I Del got Close. To
Del Close. Amazing man. Amazing man. Sharna Halpern. So it was amazing. And in that time period, there's this guy in this group who looks nothing like anybody I would ever date. In fact, I may have. He was very nice, very handsome. I may have made assumptions about his sexuality just because here we are. And it wasn't what you think. It's not because acting class, I'm making a big sweeping joke. It was really about his outfit. Everything matched. He looked great. And I was like, wow.
Maybe he bats for the other team.
Maybe he does. And that let me truly, like, not be focused on not flirting because he's an actor. Not like I was so myself and so delighted and possibly flirting. There's a chance that then he came over once very early on. Everything we talk against, for good reason.
You did.
I went a different direction. Yeah, did all of it. And so there is a chance that in that time period of getting to know him, let's call it date one, even though I didn't think of it as a date.
Right. You were just getting to know each other.
Just getting to know each other. One thing may have led to another. And again, this is why we say don't go to their house in the beginning of dating. Don't go to their apartment.
You figured out he did not bat for the other team.
Correct. It became more than obvious that he did not. This guy. Not only that, but one thing leads to another. We may have been intimate. I may have, for sure we were, unless you're one of my kids, then I didn't. Whatever. And I had to get up and go to work the next morning. So I, you know, said how great it was to get to know him better, whatever. I had to go to work. He was welcome to stay for a little bit and, like, you know, shower, whatever he wanted to do. And then, you know, call each other, whatever, right? I work a double shift because I was an actress, meaning I waited tables. And I came home feeling, you know, ugh, like you do after.
It's like the day after, yeah. Well, the day after that and a double shift, you're just like overloaded with oxytocin.
Yeah. And looking like you would think I might after that. I unlock my door, and to my surprise, he's there. And I'm like, talk about a clinger. Like,
Stage one clinger.
I'm like looking at him, and I don't know even what to say. Like,
hey,
hi,
Mark. Hi. Yeah.
Hi. I certainly thought you would have a busier day than this, maybe other things to do. And then, like, for a second, you're like, did he stay and make me dinner? No.
Nothing. He's just sitting there.
He's there. And he doesn't even look happy. By the way, neither of us looked happy. And I said, what are you doing? And he said, I have never been somewhere yet where someone locked the door from the outside. I'm like, wait, what? I had locked the door in a way from the outside that he couldn't open it. I locked him in. So because I was on, like, it's technically the first floor, but it's a whole good stairway up to this gorgeous courtyard. Oh, it was so beautiful that he kept trying to crawl out the window, but someone would walk by and, you know, he dived back in.
Oh my God. That is so funny. So he did not want to crawl out the window.
He did. He wanted to. He didn't want to keep being seen. And then it's like, who's going to believe you're breaking out?
Right. Here's a guy jumping out of a window.
Big guy, big, gorgeous man jumping out of a window. Or is he? Like, it was just in those beginnings. He was like, I looked like I was breaking in. So I came back. So then I had to quickly adjust to this new information.
You're like,
Oh, shit. And that is the beginning of what he calls, like, our Lucille Ball dynamic. Like, I'm not really like Lucille Ball, but occasionally I could do something like that. And maybe I am a little like her in some ways, but I had to get beyond the fact that I had literally locked him in and then was kind of treating him like, Hello. Enough of you.
Like, why are you here?
Still here.
And you're like, oh my God, suddenly that changes to horror. Ooh. Like, I am so sorry. Oh my
Bella,
God. Oh my God.
I mean, it's now what, like 40 years later, and I'm still like, when that's, and it comes up less. Like, you know how you forget other things happen. He's probably telling other stories these days, other things I've done. But that was the beginning.
Wow. And would you say ultimately it was surprising date one? I always say, you know, everybody knows that one couple that slept together on the first date and now they're happily married and living in the suburbs. You are that 1% of people. And you met him in acting class. He was very well dressed, but doesn't sound like he is what you thought you would be with.
No, it's literally what I, in, there's nothing about him. Not one thing other than I knew I would want to be with somebody who could be a good guy and a good father. And he is both.
He's amazing. I mean,
yeah.
For those of you, I hope you are as lucky as me and you get to witness an event like a wedding of clients and get to go to the wedding with Eileen and her husband, Mark. They're so amazing. And I always say, you know, it's rare that you can see two people sometimes that have great big personalities that can make it work. And they're just, it's like you share the steering wheel, right? Usually there's one person that wants to have the steering wheel all the time. And you guys just seamlessly get into the driver's seat and the passenger seat with your bigs. And I love that about both of you.
Thank you. It's, I mean, sometimes it is like, you know, he shifted into politics and things. And so like, he's doing rallies and speaking here and speaking there. And I'm just, you know, just a little cheerleader sometimes, well, or big, but you know, a cheerleader sometimes. So yeah, lots of room. But anyway, that's kind of our story. That was, but back to the unexpected package, dater, different race, I mean, actor.
Wait, different race? Tell us about that.
Well, I mean, it was never said, but I am from Indianapolis, Indiana. I think it was a given with my family that I would date within the race, maybe the religion, like maybe. No
Caucasian,
pressure there.
Jewish, right?
Yeah. Like my grandmother. When I say no pressure, I'm not counting my grandmother. There was lots of pressure there. But in my immediate family, no real pressure. But I think it was assumed, right, that there was literally, and then two actors, somebody's going to have to, you know, not be one of those probably.
Right. Different religions, different race, same passion.
Same passion. So
same profession.
Same profession. He clearly, though, was getting bookings and that clearly he was going to be an actor. And so I was like, my little bit parts here and there, but I'm like, but he's booking. So then one of us had to probably get a real job, and that probably was going to be me, which I did. And then like all paths lead here, but nothing like I thought I would be with.
Amazing. And just for the record, after you decided that one of you was going to get a real job, you had quite the real job. And when I met you, you had stepped out of being the CEO of a real estate company, if I remember correctly.
Yes. Yeah. I had maybe a year, just a little over a year before I met you, I was thinking of being a therapist and then studying to be a coach. And so just kind of experiencing what that would be like. And it seemed to tick off all the boxes.
I think a lot of people have those shifts at a certain point. It's like you can reach these elevated positions in the workforce and then realize that there's a certain part of this that you love, and there are other parts of it that you can easily walk away from. And how courageous of you to do that, because 99% of people don't do that.
I know you've done it. It is courageous. It is a leap of faith. It is all those things. And it is so rewarding, right? Like, so rewarding.
Well, I'm glad you didn't become a therapist there. Well, you do mental health coaching and dating coaching.
Which, by the way, both help
hand
each
in hand.
Other.
Right, because what doesn't get affected by our mental health ultimately?
Well, I think you, Lindsay, and Kathy also have psychology studies behind all of us, because we've all maybe spent time looking at why we do what we do and how we get from where we are to where we want to be and what's in the way.
Absolutely. And that is what we specialize in. And I just wanted you guys, dear listeners, to get a sense of how rich and diverse and multifaceted our team is, and how great Eileen's story is, and how you know, it's like against the odds, against the odds, against the odds, again and again and again. And here she is, and has helped so many of our clients find such amazing love, and they are forever grateful to Eileen for holding their hands and wrapping them up in pink sparkly bubble wrap through this process of love, which isn't an easy process.
No, but isn't it obviously you started this. It is the best job, right? Like, it's a magical job.
It is a magical job. I love it. And, you know, it's such a gift. What we do is we're walking with men and women through this process in the most vulnerable part of people's lives, which is their hearts, right? And so many people have achieved great success in the other pie pieces of their lives, right? But this love piece has been elusive to so many of us, and not because there's anything broken, not because there's anything wrong with us. It's just,
no. You know,
sometimes the universe or God just hasn't said it's quite time for your last date yet. So we have the great privilege of doing that and walking with people and getting to know our clients and, you know, becoming not only mentors, but friends with these people. And that's why this is the best job in the world.
Yeah.
And then we get to dance at weddings together.
And celebrate Mark's special day.
Mark's special day. Whenever Mark goes to a wedding with Eileen, Eileen likes to say, you know, Mark feels like it's actually kind of his wedding day. It's his special day.
Because literally he will leave last. I mean, walking out maybe with the bride and groom, maybe with their family, like, he's last because he doesn't want to leave. Because why would anyone want to leave dancing and celebrating if you didn't have to?
No, absolutely. And this is why we love Mark. Mark is like a disco ball on life.
Yeah. Like,
is that
joy
a good
in a
way
bottle.
To describe it? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And
or if he's cooking, which he also is passionate about, it's like a toddler in your kitchen. No, I'm kidding. Very messy.
And great food, though.
Great food. Great food.
Love
it's
that.
On every surface of the house, but great. Yes.
And I'm just going to cap off Eileen's personal story. Eileen has two kids that honestly are supermodels. I'm not even going to say they look like they're supermodels. They're like, good God, how do two people look like that? And now she's also going to be a grandma.
I am going to be a grandma. I cannot. So excited.
To a baby girl. Her baby girl is having a baby girl. So what a great life you've built. And I am really excited to have you here, because we're now going to talk about something that has been kind of omnipresent in 2025. And I'm sure you can relate to this, dear listener. It's a little bit of dating fatigue, right? It's this repetitive theme that we have come up with. And honestly, the media isn't making this easier, talking about the catfish on the dating apps and the fraud on the dating apps and AI
it's the dating
bots on
app fatigue.
apps.
I feel like you are 100% right. And the story people tell themselves is about the apps typically. Like if you said, do you have dating fatigue? Somebody might say, no, it's the apps, right? Like I hate the apps. It's pretty common, right? To hear that.
100%.
I don't hear it as much from the 30 somethings, but I think that might be because apps to them are a way of life that is pleasurable, right? They don't tell themselves a bad story. Like my son would so much sooner go to an app to book an appointment somewhere than call. What are you crazy? I'm not calling.
Why would I do that?
What am I starting a relationship with them? I'm just gonna make an appointment.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I was just telling Eileen before we're recording this episode, I had the great privilege of having coffee with a former client named Josh, who's amazing, and he's in his 30s, and we were just catching up, and I said, how are things going? He says, well, you know, good as usual. You know, I was stood up for my last two dates, and I was like, whoa, 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 come again. You were stood up on your dates. So of course I go into dating coach due diligence mode, right? I'm like, but did you do video? I did video. I pre-qualified. I said, oh, you know, Josh, what you could do is you could just confirm with them the night before or earlier in the day. He said, oh no, I did. Right? Mic drop. And so I said, I'm really sorry that happened to you, because that for the wrong person could put them into a complete tailspin. And you know what he said to me? He says, Bella, don't apologize. He says, I just know that none of them is my wife. And so onwards, I have a date on Wednesday.
He has a date on, of course he does, because that's the best attitude ever.
And
he didn't tell himself a crazy story about that he's a problem, that why does this happen to him? He's like, ooh, dodge that one.
Right. I want you all, the quote that I'm just coming up with right now, I want you to put this on your mirror. I'm going to be like Josh. Okay.
Yeah.
Be like Josh. No matter what happens, okay, you know what? That just means you're not my partner. You're not my husband. You're not my wife.
Yeah.
You just dust off and you move on. And his messages back to these women, one of the messages said, I'm sorry I screwed up our plans. Work got busy and my job takes precedence. His response to that, I was like, delete and block. That is rude.
That was what the date said to him.
That's what the date said to him about screwing up the date. And his response was so incredibly graceful. I totally understand how work can be so crazy. I'd be, you know, if you want to reschedule, just reach out. I hope things are okay. And I looked at him. I said, you're my client. You're not going out with this woman again. He said, oh, no, I know. I just don't want to burn any bridges in the universe. Be like Josh.
Be like Josh.
He didn't give her a, I'm so disheartened and disappointed by the behavior that you exhibited. He chose to just say, you're not my wife, and I'm going to take the high road. Be like Josh.
Bless and release is what you always tell people. Just bless and release. Yeah.
And believe the universe is about to send you your person. Okay. Mm-hmm. And these are not signs from the universe saying, you know, let's call it a day. It's not going to work out for you. No, you have the vision set in your mind that the lid to my pot is coming. And if that person ghosts you or, God forbid, stands you up, first of all, let me know. I'm going to go out and run him over with my, I was like, do you want me to go find her and, you know, back? He's like, no, no, no. And so the universe is going to bring you your person. Okay. And so,
well, I mean, of course he's going to, right?
Yes.
Like that's such a great story. And a lot of times when clients have that fatigue, that dating app fatigue, and they're telling themselves a very different story than Josh, it could be time to try some other things just to give yourself, like you have recommended before, you know what? Do you need a timeout? Do you need to take a little dating app break? And
dating
we
detox.
Dating detox. And we often have some other things that we might then shush up. We're not saying you can't date during this time period, but maybe the dating apps need a break for a minute. Even though it's still the biggest cocktail party in the world, still very successful. However, maybe for that time period, you do something different so that you will still maybe meet somebody. Maybe you take a new class, right? Maybe you're taking salsa or improv lessons or going out to karaoke or to trivia night or with your friends somewhere, meeting a different group.
Yes. Find things that are going to fill up your cup. If you're quick note about the dating apps, Smart Dating recommends start with one dating app, max out at two. We're not on three or five or eight. Okay. And so shut down your dating apps, or please at least slim them down if you're not going to take the advice, but come down to one or two apps. Maybe you'll decide after this, I'm going to give myself permission to go into dating detox, right? Now, really think about yourself, like Eileen's saying, what would bring you joy? Our goal, remember, ladies and gentlemen, good daters have joy. They're magnetic. They're happy.
And that's why those good daters are successful. They become a person that someone wants to be around, the law of attraction. Do you ever watch, this is one of the things I use in coaching all the time. Do you ever watch the show, The Sopranos?
I have not seen it consistently.
Okay. Do you know who the star was? James Gandolfini?
Yes. Tony Soprano, for sure.
Tony Soprano. Okay. From acting, I want you to imagine the call sheet for the part where they said, man, this age to this age, Edie Falco's husband lead gets all the girls romantically, right? That's what it is. Hot. And I want you to imagine James Gandolfini, actor, or his manager, they're reading it and they're like, okay, I could think I have iffy teeth and maybe a little balding and maybe a little larger. But that's not what he thought. He thought, this is so me. Because he had to. Because honestly, Bella, I had a huge crush on him during that show. Huge.
Because he had swagger.
Beyond. I believed what he believed. I think he believed he was hot. I believed he was hot. It seemed like Edie Falco believed it. And all these girls. Like, it is that law of attraction. Whether you're just thinking you're hot or you're joyful and you're ripping up life and having a good time, that law of attraction is kind of huge. It's almost a key, right?
Yes, 100%. So first of all, you have to believe that the lid to your pot is coming, number one, and then bring the joy to the date. And so if you're in pickleball, go all in, right? Be the fun person that you are. Bring your Mark Collins disco ball self to the pickleball court, right? Bring your big, bring whomever you are, but be in a good place when you're there. Don't show up as Debbie or Donnie Downer, like womp womp. Yeah, wow. I suck at pickleball. I've never been here before. I mean, I know the first time I got on a pickleball court, I was laughing. I was like, I just want you all to know that I am a first time pickleball person. And I know you guys are so excited to have me as your teammate, but I'm going to work really, really hard to make you proud. Just bring the silly, bring the fun to the date, to the event. Well, it's not a date, it's an event, but think about things that you actually love to do, because automatically you're going to be more joyful when you're around like-minded people that are doing the thing that you love to do.
Right. Dancing, traveling, cooking, wine tasting, any, like, it's not that it has to be a giant new skill, right? But it could be.
No. And remember, when you're at events, It's that old adage, and I think it was Eleanor Roosevelt said, people aren't going to remember what you wore. They're not going to remember anything. They're going to remember how they felt in your presence. How did you make them feel? Right? Are you thinking about the other person and how they're feeling as well? Can you look at them, smile, say something connecting, give a compliment, move on? Right? Like this, it's just, this is simple basics of how you make people feel when you're at the event.
I think I might have like babies on the brain, as we discussed, but you know how with a baby that you don't know, we go wild typically, like to make this joyful face and we're smiling and we're talking. So, but why? Because the baby responds. Babies respond. Human, they don't even know. They, no one taught them this. It's human instinct. Same happens to adults. Human instinct is to respond to attractive behavior and attractive look, and a confident person just like there to make you feel good. We want to be around more of that, right?
100%, Eileen, and you know how we run our very first meetings with our one-on-one clients called a jump start, and it's 3 hours. And one of the ending exercises that we do that we don't tell our clients we're going to do, but here I'm telling, thousands of people in the podcast sphere, it's about how do you bring your most attractive and joyful self to a date. And we do some video exercises around this. And the transformations in less than 5 minutes are nothing short of pretty dramatic.
Really, really, really dramatic. And if you don't believe in it, you could experiment. You could be like the next time you're in a crowd, on a bus, waiting in line. Try to find someone to make eye contact with and smile and just see what happens. See how they respond.
And it doesn't even have to be somebody of the gender that you're interested in. It can
Nope,
be
just your
anybody. In
person.
fact, just find a person that you're not interested in and
Right, make it
practice.
easy.
Make it easy, practice. Like, oh, wow, there's a second grader, right? There's a 97-year-old. Okay, awesome. Whatever it is, practice, make it easy. Look at somebody, smile, say something nice, make their day, move on. And practice this and find out what brings you joy, what activities you can do besides the dating apps. Go do that and bring that joy to the event. And I want you to tell us what happens.
Yes. I have a theory that people meet people, whether the people that they would be interested in were at the event or their sister or brothers at the event, and they get to know. Like, just do the event. Go to the wedding, go to the dance, go to the thing, go skating, go on a hay ride, whatever it is. And just be in the mood for a great time.
And be the great mood. You have a mood quotient. When you walk in, you palpably affect how the energy in that room and know that. Know that you matter and you make a difference. Walk in from a place of joy. And know
And
that
if you
you
can't
can
dance
wait.
in, like
Yeah,
if you
dance
can't
in.
dance in, bring the joy, bring the fun. Because if you saw somebody dance into a room, wouldn't you be like, maybe a little like, what? But also, I'd like to sit by them, maybe.
Like
Maybe.
Mark, be like Mark, be like Josh, be like Mark, right?
Be like
Dance into
Mark
the room.
and be like Josh.
People ask me before I speak at events, what song do you want to walk out to? And I was like, oh, of course, Beyoncé's Crazy in Love, right? When you hear that song, don't you just want to dance? Right? It's amazing. I'm not going to rap for you guys because I know, you'd really want to hear that. You would not want to hear that. And so, on this quick note, okay, so we've talked about knowing what brings you joy, putting yourself around like-minded people, being the best version of yourself, knowing that you affect the mood. Okay, now, the other thing, so many of you want to be set up by your family and friends, okay? And everybody will say, oh my gosh, you're so amazing. I don't know anybody, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so we're gonna tell you two strategic ways
to start to leverage your networks, okay? Your friends, your family, your colleagues, whomever it is, when they say they don't know anybody. Okay, I want you to think about a strategy that we call creating your dating board of directors.
There it is. Yes.
Now, what does that mean, you think? Like, I can't have a board of directors. I'm a, you know, I was a stay-at-home mom and I didn't. No. I want you to think about the people that you know, all the people that you know, okay? And don't just limit it to my five best friends. I want you to really think about, okay, you know your neighbor's mother-in-law, okay? You know your neighbor's cousin. Think about all the people and think about, I want you to filter it for two things. I want you to think about people that are very well connected and they like connecting people. They're what you might consider an extrovert, but I call them super connectors. They're those people that are like, oh my gosh, Eileen, you need to meet my friend Kathy because you like peonies and she likes peonies. And I think you guys would plant the most beautiful gardens, something like that. And then you would actually put them on a text and connect them. Those are the people that belong on your dating board of directors. People
100%.
That like to do that and are good at that normally. And they know a lot of people. And now if they accept, you just tell them really cutely, I'm nominating you to be on my dating board of directors. They're like, what's that? You have a dating board of directors? I didn't even know you were dating. You're like, well, I have put you on my dating board because you are what I call a super connector. So now you can tell them the good things about them. You are so friendly. You're on five different boards. You know a ton of people. You're so gracious about connecting people. To accept the position on my dating board of directors, all I need you to do at some point this year is set me up on one or two dates with people. That's it.
And
it works.
It works. If they feel like they don't know somebody to set you up with, I want you to think about if you were looking for a job, you would think networking is, I mean, we all tell everybody network, network, right? This is kind of the same way for success, same route.
Yes.
If they don't know somebody, somebody they know somebody, somebody they know somebody, right?
100%. And the second corollary to this, Eileen had a great idea when we were prepping for this conversation about asking people to be included in new groups of people. Tell us about this.
Yeah. So like, for instance, we have, and it started fairly small, but our neighbors started this going to trivia night at our local beer draft place. Brewery. It's a brewery here. And we all started going. And then some of the older kids started going and like bigger. And then sometimes somebody comes and they're not one of the, like, but we're grateful for the edge on the competition of trivia. But it's an opportunity, again, just to be with different people, to talk about different things, to meet. So opportunities like just asking, what are you guys doing? Like, I know you're all going rafting, you're doing this. I'd love to learn about that.
Absolutely. And including yourself, like, just invite me to these things. In fact, this reminds me of a story. One of my clients, when I first started out, her name is Mary, and Mary is a PhD in physics. Okay. Serious, studious, the loveliest human. I wish I could just like put her in my pocket and carry her around with me. Heart of gold, definitely more introverted, very brainy. And so she did the apps, but as part of her dating diversification strategy, I said, why don't you go to trivia night? You'll like, maybe like you'd be an ace in the hole. Anybody would want you.
Anybody's secret weapon. Yes.
And she went to a trivia night and met a guy who was more extroverted and kind of fun and funny. And he said, well, you know, can I get your number? She said, sure. And so long story short, 2 years later, they got married and they met at a trivia. Yes. And
case in point.
And so use, if you are the more introverted, studious type. Nobody's going to ask you to go to the middle of a nightclub and put yourself in a situation that you're not comfortable in. But go be a metaphorical disco ball in the element that suits you. If that's trivia, that's great. Maybe it's Comic-Con, maybe it's an anime thing, maybe it's, noir film, maybe it is a nightclub, maybe it's a wine tasting, but
Maybe there's a speaker at the library, whatever it is.
correct. Correct. And so, because you never know who you're going to meet. So if you, and I know, this is all dating fatigue and dating app fatigue, but what I want to tell you, and this was what we were, the conversation about meeting people in real life, having a dating board of directors, taking a dating detox from the apps, right? But the one thing I want to take a step back before we end this episode, we're not here to bag on the dating apps. In fact, one of the very first things that I taught in the most recent Love Lab that we did called Dating During Midlife and Over 50 was I want you to get into a space of gratitude for the dating apps. And everyone's like, oh God, why? Think about it. Whoever uses the terms old maid or old spinster anymore? Nobody. 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 Why? Because your 83-year-old aunt could meet somebody on J-Date tomorrow. Okay? This is what's happened. Dating apps have made meeting the lid to your pot possible by giving you access to people you would never, ever, ever have access to otherwise.
Beautiful, Bella. So true.
Are
So
the
true.
apps? They're not, they feel like human eBay, okay? It feels like you're digging through the racks at Salvation Army or Nordstrom Rack. And I get that, but know that there are so many good people on those apps. So if you revise your mindset where we're gonna be like Josh, okay? Here's the next corollary to that. When you're hating on the dating apps, pretend this was 1977. Hell, pretend this was 1993, 1995. There was no internet available to all of us, and there were certainly no dating sites or apps. How did we meet people over the age of 35? That's why we said, well, that's the old lady down the road. She's been single for 40 years. Well, now you can be single for 40 years if you want to, but you don't have to be. And I want you to take that and say, thank goodness for the dating apps.
Yes, right? Right? Love it. So true, Bella.
So, getting over fatigue, remember, fatigue comes from the way that we're thinking about things. And so, in this episode, we've told you it's normal to feel fatigue. We gave you ways to get out of the fatigue. Take yourself off the apps if you need to. Slim it down to one or two apps, right?
Go on in less
Revise your
time.
mindset. Revise your mindset. Just say, I'm taking a break from the apps for 30 days, but thank God the apps exist, right? And if somebody stands you up on a date or two, be like Josh and say, well, that's just not my person. I'm going to keep going. This isn't reflecting me. I know the lid to my pot is out there and I know I'm ready, right? We're going to be like Josh, and you're going to take your disco ball self to events that you feel comfortable in, and you're going to bring the joy and you're going to be the joy at those events. So I hope that this episode helped you. I feel like I'm energized by talking about getting over fatigue. How about you?
I'm definitely energized. I feel like the reminders. Josh, Mark, that somebody went for trivia night with a great attitude and met the lid to her pot, like just kind of the reminders, the law of attraction, right? Like bring it. Like that's another way kind of just saying bring it. So yeah, I'm very excited.
Well, Eileen, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. You're so busy and you help so many people in so many ways. And I'm grateful that you're on our team and I'm grateful that you shared your amazing story. And ladies and gentlemen, if you've learned anything, make sure that you don't lock your date in your apartment.
from the outside, or maybe it works. It's not something we recommend.
Maybe just stick to the smart dating rules. Like we said, don't bring anybody to your apartment. Don't bring anybody to your apartment until you've passed 15 dates. And if you don't know our theories, go back and listen to the 15 date rule. Go back and listen to so many
there for a reason. Yes.
Episodes that are there for a reason. So if you are feeling inspired and you want Eileen and or me to hold your hand through this process and wrap you up in pink sparkly bubble wrap, press send on that form on Smart Dating Academy today, because you're worth it. And we do make this a hell of a lot of fun. We're like kind of your own private disco ball. So just know that and follow us at Smart Dating Academy on Instagram. And if you like this episode and you know somebody who's feeling exhausted by the apps and needs a little, you know, needs a little pep in their step, share it with them. Give us a review. Give us a 5-star if you like the episode. We're the little podcast that could. So until next week, I thank you very much. And Eileen, I'm sure we will have you on again very soon.
Thanks, Bella Gandhi.
Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love. Follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.